Isaiah 55. Preachers are servants. Servants that make things ready for the princes of God to come and sit and dine. The message that we preach is not our own, meaning it doesn't come from us. We hope, if it's a message. A man once said, a preacher is a man sent from God with a message from God for that hour. And with that being said, I believe I have a message. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Brother Henry and Brother John, Brother Henry and Miss Doris, Brother Charles and Barbara, seek the Lord. Nancy, seek the Lord. Stephen, Mary, Mac and Margaret, Robin and Kelly, seek the Lord. I'm headed to Kingsport. Those of you who are in my Bible class, seek the Lord. Davis, Elizabeth, Joseph, Lauren, Dylan, Justin, Anna, Laura, Sarah, seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. And seek ye the Lord. If you have no idea who Jesus Christ really is, seek ye the Lord. If you have never heard Him speak to you, if you've never heard Him call your name, I've never heard Him call my name, then seek the Lord. If you have heard His beautiful voice and you long to hear it again, seek ye the Lord. Somebody asked a preacher, does the Lord speak out loud? This was recently. And that lovable man wisely said, no, it's much louder than that. If you desire that the Lord would do for someone else what He's done for you, seek ye the Lord. Don't seek religion. And don't seek church. Seek Him. Verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. This is urgent. It's urgent. There's no time to waste. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Why? Why? I have a center margin in my Bible with Scripture references. Some Bibles don't have center margins, and that's okay. And some Bibles have different references than my Bible, and that's okay. But these are my references. Matthew 5:25. Luke 13:25, John 7:34, 2 Corinthians 6:2, and Hebrews 3:13. Let's look at these references, and I believe we're going to see why we need to seek the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 25 says, "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." We must seek the Lord. Why? It's because sinful man by nature is an adversary to God. We must seek a way for agreement. There must be agreement. Now turn with me to Luke 13. Luke 13:25 says, "When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, cried unto the people for 120 years, the door is open. The door is open. I have good news. The door is open. And it's a happy thing. The door is open. Enter in. The door is open. Enter in. Whosoever will, let him come." And one day, God shut the door. And I can only imagine, as that water started to rise, can you imagine the people that started beating on that door? "Oh, let us in." Our Lord said, "I am the door. And once the door is shut, it'll be too late. It's going to be too late. All who come at that point will hear Him say, Depart from me, I never knew you." Paul the Apostle said, "Oh, that I may know Him. Oh, that I may know Him. I must know Him. I, Gabe Stonecker, must seek the Lord. Seek the Lord." All right, now turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, look at verse 33. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Once I'm gone, you're not going to be able to find me. And where I'm going, you cannot come. Getting a hold of this is going to bring a little understanding on what is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord has something to do with being afraid. It has something to do with love. It has something to do with respect. It has something to do with honor. But it has something to do with being afraid. My dad didn't do time out. We got good old-fashioned spankings. And if he said, don't touch that, the thing that caused me to change my mind was fear. Now, my dad loves me. And not once have I ever thought that he would hurt me. Never. But the reason I didn't touch that is fear. I didn't want that spanking. Fear motivates. It motivates. How wise is it to seek the Lord while He may be found? Call while He's near. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, it's a wise thing. Seek the Lord. Now, why should we seek the Lord? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Why should we seek Him? It's because right now is the accepted time. Right now. God will accept us. It's good news. Today is the day of salvation. Why should we seek Him? It's because He's near. If there are two or three gathered in His name, He's here. He's here. He's here. Call on Him. He's here. Right now. I love that chorus that we sing. Reach out and touch the Lord. As He passes by, you'll find He's not too busy. Our busy God, He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. I'm going to quote the last reference. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another daily while it's called today." Exhort one another. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. This is the day. This is the day. Today's the day. Now here is the question. And this is the heart of this message. How? How? Seek the Lord. How? What does that mean? What does it mean and how does a sinner seek the Lord? Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And look at verse 13. Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Seeking the Lord has everything to do with the heart. Proverbs 4 says, out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. People think they have to go somewhere or do something to seek the Lord. They attach it to morality. They think they'll find God through good works, rebuilding storm-damaged houses and things like that. The commandment is, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's how a person seeks God. That is how a person seeks God. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? First, it means I acknowledge in my heart that I do not know the Lord or have the Lord. I don't know Him and I don't have Him. A person will not search for something that's already in the palm of their hand. Most people believe they have Jesus in their back pocket and they can pull Him out whenever they need Him and then just stick Him right back. Seeking the Lord begins with a realization through His Word that man by nature really is separated from God. It begins with a firm belief that I do not have Him, but I need Him. I don't have Him, but I need Him. Secondly, seeking the Lord is a burning desire deep in the heart for Him. For Him. To know Him. And have Him not just be relieved of my guilt. It's all about Him. It feels like, and I say this, you know, salvation is not a feeling. And I say this carefully and respectfully. But you know what it feels like? Love. It feels like love. Before Hannah and I started dating, I still lived in Tennessee. Before Hannah, everybody I went out on a date with, I could kind of care less. I could put them in my back pocket, take them out when I needed to, and then put them right back in my back pocket. And before Hannah and I started dating, I was absolutely, positively convinced of two things. The first one is, I don't have her. And the second one was, I want her so badly. Will she have me? I don't know. I don't know. For the first time, I was worried. Some fears that what if she won't have me? How can I find out? I'm going to seek her. And I'm going to seek her with all my heart. I moved. I dropped it all. And I left everybody. And I moved to Rocky Mount. And I still didn't have her. When I got here, I still didn't have her. So I made every excuse I could find to get to Paul Mahan's house. I wanted to be wherever she was. I heard she's going to be there. That's where I want to be. I wanted to draw nigh unto her and just see if she would draw nigh unto me. I must have her. He said, "You'll find me when you search for me with all your heart." David said, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As the deer longs to taste the fresh water in the stream, Lord, my soul longs for you. I need you so bad. I don't know if you'll have me, but I need you so badly." Salvation is not in a doctrine. It's in a person. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must have Him. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." Oh, that I may know Him. I want to know Him so badly. To seek God is to, number one, know I don't have Him. It's to greatly desire to have Him. And thirdly, it's to be willing in my heart to be accepted by Him on His terms. Any way I can have you. Anyway, here's an illustration I heard, and it's the best one for this. A young man has committed a crime, and he's guilty, and he stands before the judge, and the judge says, "Young man, do you want to stay out of jail?" And he says, "Yes, sir, I do." He says, "Then these are my terms. You have a 10 o'clock curfew. You got to be home. You got to do 200 hours of community service. You got to report to a parole officer. These are my terms. Do you accept my terms?" What choice do I have? That'll keep me out of jail? Yes. We're guilty sinners, and God owes us nothing. God says, "I created you and you sinned. I sent my Son to live for you and be your righteousness. I sent my Son to die for you and be your atonement, your sin offering. And I will only accept you in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are my terms." Do you bow to these terms? Yes. Yes, I do. I love those terms. Then seek the Lord. Lastly, the fourth thing, to seek the Lord is to be willing in the heart to part with everyone and everything that stands between me and union with Him. Everyone and everything that stands between me and union with Him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I thought this was my life, but that's not my life. He is my life. Abraham believed God, and he left his home, and he left his family. He believed God, and he sojourned in the earth as God moved him. He believed God, and he offered his own son. He gave his own son. God was merciful to Abraham, and he stopped Abraham before he killed Isaac. But Abraham, in his heart, gave up his son. In Abraham's heart, that was a done deal. And God looked on the heart. Now, here is God's promise to all of his seekers. Let's go back to our text, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him." Now, even though this sounds like it's saying, if you do this, then God will do that. What it's actually saying is, if you do this, then it's an evidence that God has already done that. And I want to prove that in Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Verse 1 says, "I'm sought of them that asked not for me." Never even asking. "I am found of them that sought me not." Well, then how did it happen? It goes on to say, "I said, behold me. Behold me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name." That's how it happened. It's God which worketh in us. God gets all the glory in salvation. Our text in Isaiah 55 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, if we're pardoned, then we're pardoned. If you did a crime and then you're pardoned, that pardon is, you're pardoned. But just listen to Isaiah 40. Verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He said, I will abundantly pardon you. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Lord, draw us. Pull us. Speak to us. Behold me. Cause us. May we all seek the Lord. Brother John.